Father God, I thank you for bringing Sean through this week. I thank you, Lord, for working in and through so many people to bring him to this place. Lord, I thank you. I've known him for over 30 years, and I thank you that I've seen your faithfulness in him and for him all these years, and we're not going to stop seeing it. Lord, I thank you for your anointing. We're asking tonight that you would give him physical strength. Lord, I pray for this anointing that comes from on high. Lord, as he speaks the truth, as he speaks your word, that there will be power. Lord, that your challenge will be known in each of our hearts. Lord, I pray for Renee right now. Lord, help her. I pray for extra strength for her. I pray for Carter and Olivia. I pray for Ethan, for Lenny and Jenny. God, for this entire family. Lord, the focus is on you tonight. That's what our brother wants. And so, Lord, as he preaches, may we see Jesus in all of his resurrection life and glory. We praise you for what you're going to accomplish in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I have just another stool, please? We're here. Awesome. Man, I so wish I could tell you I did like a double backflip and just missed it. Didn't even come close to that. Thank you, my man. Me, Brent, and Seth went skiing Monday, and just trying out a demo and a pair of skis, and just hit what we normally hit, and it kind of just threw me crazy off balance. And first thing that hit on the ice was my hip. That was the first connection to the ground, and immediately I knew something is not right. And of course, Dr. Olberg fell on Dr. Snowden. We said, man, it must be out of place. So here we're trying to put it in place right there on us, because we know what we're doing. I've dislocated stuff before. We put it in. Well, it wasn't dislocated, and the upper part of the femur was broke in half, and I broke two ribs, punctured a lung, and you know what's great? Laying there on the snow before ski patrol ever even showed up, and they were amazing. You know what comes to mind? As me and Seth are trying to work this thing back in, it was never out. I'm just laying there. I finally lay there. Ski patrol shows up. They strap me in. They knew. I was having a hard time breathing. I couldn't really breathe. I hurt on both sides. You know what the worst part of this? If I move this way, this hurts. If I move this way, this hurts. I'm like a cocoon, man. I'm like right in the middle of this thing. And here, ski patrol shows up, and they get me all nice and tight. They say, man, that's the best we can do. And this is going to hurt, because it's a bumpy ride. And I just said, you know what? Really just crying out to God from the snow to now. God, in everything of this, God, that I would honor you. First priority. God, that I would be respectful. God, I would be thankful. You know what came to my mind was seek. That's how powerful stuff is. When we cry out to God, folks, it's real. When we really come before God Almighty and present the month to him or the day to him or the week to him, I mean, there's a portion that we say, God, we give you the good, the bad, the ugly, the known, the unknown, the unexpected. And it's amazing because here they knew that I wasn't breathing and that it was a serious, huge bone issue. And they decided to call Mercy Flight, and here I'm in Mercy Flight. And then another part of a message came to my heart when I was speaking on Jonah, thinking, man, you know what? He probably never expected he was going to be in the belly of a fish. And I can tell you, I have never, ever been in a helicopter ride, and I never expected to be in the belly of that helicopter. And you get to the hospital, and just continuing going through my mind, God, in all of this, you were so aware of what was going to take place. You're a God who knows all things. And you're a God who understands hurt and pain. And God, you're a God who understands through even your son Jesus, the pain that he endured. And as he did dislocate things on the cross and the beatings and the pain. I mean, all of this just kind of goes through your heart. And I'm so thankful, folks, that my heart went to the Word of God. My heart went to a place to remember, God, this is yours. This month is yours. And this is a part of this month. And God, you knew the very moment I'd be in this helicopter, God, this is your time. And in all of this, God, I want to represent you. Jesus, you're my king, and I want to represent you. And this is what's playing through my mind. And it's wonderful because, you know, I am one who likes to do self-checks. Now, I do it at times with just myself. I do it with people who are around me, who I trust. I spoke to Seth. I spoke to Brendan. I spoke to my wife, and I spoke to my kids. These are people who I trust. And I asked them, man, in my moment of crisis, how well did I honor my king? See, folks, when the rubber meets the road, when you're in crisis mode, and then it's amazing because a wonderful pastor, a friend of mine, he said this, Sean, this is the deal. When the glass is kicked over, the only thing that comes out of the glass is what's in the glass. And man, I tell you what, it was wonderful because my point is to testify about Christ and the power of his word. And it was great to hear every one of those who I trusted said, Sean, you did well. You did well to honor your king. Man, it's just amazing, folks, that when you are so squeezed and the unexpected happens, what takes place? Now, listen, I'm not downplaying this thing. This is just absolutely painful. You know, God made the femur, the longest, hardest bone in the body, to break. And I found a way to break it in half. So, you know, I'm thinking, God, you created the bone. You can make it hard again. So let's how about that idea, right? I mean, you made it hard, and you can make it hard again. And the ribs, they will heal on their own. And the punctured lung, doctor says, we just hope. They say, well, let's hope that heals so we don't have to go in when it implodes to build you a new one. I said, yeah, let's hope. How about that idea? I'm on your page, Doc. Let's do that. And, you know, we're supposed to be going on this family cruise that we've been so looking forward to. Whether that happens or not, I have no idea. I mean, it's just, there's no great timing for tragedy ever, you know. And this is not nearly a tragedy. My goodness, I can think, I can breathe. They were so concerned about, you know, my neck and my mind and, you know, the back and all this stuff. And I knew, man, everything is fine from like here up, man, I'm good. This is issues. And I got to tell you, this was funny. We're in ECMC, and these guys were amazing. Ski patrol was unbelievable, just total incredible. ECMC, from the moment I got there, man, they were taking me room to x-rays are the worst. I mean, they got to move you and shape you into, I mean, you think they're moving your body in ways it can't go, especially with broken pieces. You're like, holy smokes. And but it was funny because they put this, you know, great protective neck brace. It was all crooked and just so irritating. And I convinced a wonderful nurse to take it off. And I'm like, listen, honey, it hurts. They'd have done some stuff up here, right, if it was wrong, because it's not. I'm telling you, I'm fine. So she took it off. And then I couldn't tell you how many people, doctors, who took that neck brace off you. And they were, I'm like, listen, I don't know who it was. This person did me a great favor. I'm not getting this person in trouble in any way, shape, or form. And, but it was just great to, even in the midst of that, to have a little bit of fun. And it was just tremendous to see what God has done. And then just even through the prayers of people, you know, they put a titanium rod right through. I got staples all the way down, and they hammered a rod down through the middle of my bone. And, you know, say it'll take a bit, but it's going to be strong. And he said, you know what, the good thing is your muscles were holding the bone back. Because it could have come through the skin, and then that would have been a serious, serious issue, but your muscles were holding it back. That's the good news. Bad news is I had to go in and make the incision bigger to reach my hand in there and pull it back against your muscles to drill that baby down. I'm like, well, I'm glad you did what you did. So, and I really just wanted to be respectful and thankful, giving thanks to God for even every circumstance that we find ourselves in, knowing he knew it before we did. And just to continue to allow faith to rise to the top, folks, in every circumstance of life. We've got to let faith rise to the top. So I'm glad that I've got some amazing family and great team who just saw me in crisis mode and confirmed that you answered your prayers in regards to how you responded to crisis mode. you know, we're getting through this thing. I'm excited about it. And you know what's amazing is, I mean, there was just, man, there was this army of people who were praying. I mean, an army of people here at this church and other believers around, you know, I've got family all over who are just praying and seeking God and just asking God for just a peace in my heart and asking God to deliver me and asking God to do His work in me and asking that faith would rise to the top. I mean, an army of people. And man, I tell you what, there hasn't been a moment. There's no complaining. There's no worrying. There's no arguing. There's none of that. And there is just such a strength. And here I remember distinctly as I am banging up and down on the slopes in the back of this ski buggy thing and just literally crying out the name of Jesus. One name, Jesus. Followed by two words, that I would be strong and courageous. That I would be strong and courageous. And just this army of people who were praying for me and continue to pray for me and my family as we just continue to take baby steps, take this thing one thing at a time. And one thing that I really made a goal, God, that I would just be able to address the people and say thank you. So thank you for what you've done for me and just carrying me through this. There's power in prayer, folks. Power. Power in prayer. And that you have carried me and my family through this is just incredible. It's just incredible. And I just thank you so much for being such an incredible, incredible family and such an amazing church that have expressed yourself with such love and support. It's just, it's overwhelming. And just, I'm so grateful. That's what gets you through the nights when you are just hurt. And it is truly the prayer of people who just carry you through. And man, I thank you so much for that. And I am so thankful for this, that your mind goes right to truth, goes right to the Word of God. I mean, it's funny because this is a message that God put on my heart. This was Sunday night, Monday morning, about 3 o'clock Monday morning. I'm out of bed. Because the word came to me and I started writing this word out at 3 o'clock Monday morning, and then I'm in a helicopter Monday afternoon. One of the things that I really said, God, it would be a goal of mine to at least preach this thing this weekend. And then people think, you are what? What? God, it's your word. And I'm amazed by this because the word is true. And I'm amazed by this because here I wrote something down. Monday morning at 3 o'clock, that I have, man, busted in the absolute truth of God's word in the midst of this week. It's just incredible. Come on, two places tonight. Jonah 3, Matthew 7, please. Jonah 3, turn to Matthew 7. I probably, depending on how this goes and how I'm feeling, probably will not be here tomorrow. But my man Seth is covering, and the team as a whole in this church. You know, when all things are good, they're good. But when crisis hits, oh, they're great. They're great. You understand, when all things are good, you got a good team. But when crisis hits, man, they up it to a level that becomes great. Love my team. Love my team. And I want to represent them well. Everywhere I go and everything I do, I want to represent the board of this church, my paid staff and my family extremely well. Man, this is the word that came to me just as I was just going over this and just as God put it on my heart, man. Let's just ask God to move in this place. Tonight, we thank you, Father, for being able to speak and preach. Thank you, God. This is nowhere near a tragedy. This is a broken bone. That's all it is. That's all it is, God. Broken ribs can heal. Femurs get repaired, strong again. Lung can grow back, whatever that is. God, it is not a tragedy. I thank you for strength in neck and strength in head and back. Just nothing there, God. Just amazing. So God, I pray for strength as I preach this tonight, God, that we would understand your word is alive and powerful. God, it is not to be questioned. God, we look at it and say it is your word to us so that we get to know you on a deeper level. How amazing is that, God, that you have revealed yourself over and over through your word, that we may have a deeper understanding of you. God, you know every time we blink. You know everything about us, God. But you have written it out so that we may know you on a deeper level. God, that's amazing. We thank you for that, Father. God, even through what we see in Jonah, God, speak to us tonight in such a powerful way. That God, our faith would be strong tonight, Father. Thank you for what you have done. God, we come to you with an open ear. Come to you with an eye to see. God, we are ready to hear from you tonight. And God, that we would just open our hearts to truly be a sponge and come hungry, hungry for you tonight. Folks, please, I ask that you would ask God tonight, that you would just ask God to speak to you tonight. Speak to me tonight. And I'll respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. My Jonah 3 says this, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. Proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Highlight that. Proclamation that I'm going to tell you. Man, that is the word of the Lord right there. God is telling Jonah, you're going to Nineveh. I've already told you this. This is round 2 last week, Living Out Truth. Great message on God coming to us a second time. And if you are not able to get on that, please go to livingouttruth.com. Get that powerful word. Jonah came a second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. Proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell. God is about to deliver a message to Jonah, through a great city. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' walk. And then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, this is, highlight this, yet 40 days in Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days. This is all we know that he said. Walking through this great city, just walking street corner to street corner, down this street, down that street, in front of this village square, in front of that village square, and all of it says that yet 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. That's all we know that he said. Nineveh took, they looked at Jonah, recognized that he was from God, recognized that it was a message of God. Folks, you know what this tells me? As Jonah began to proclaim the word of the Lord, yet 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And this word overthrown, it means destroyed. It is the exact same word that we see in Genesis 19, when God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah, that they have been overthrown. Same word. We're talking total mass destruction. What would have taken place to Nineveh? And they understood this. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. And this is the message that God put in my heart, that when they believed in God, they repented and they put on sackcloth and they went into a fast, and they were these outside signs of their absolute true understanding of their wrong direction against God and who they were against God. And they understood that this man named Jonah came and delivered a message that God's about to wipe us out in 40 days. And they said, maybe, just maybe we can bank on God's compassion, that if we fast, if we repent, if we turn, even the king, the leader, got involved in this thing, and everyone turned, even the animals had to fast. Why? Because they heard one message, folks. They heard one message, and it rearranged the whole great city. When you understand that there is power in one message, when you understand that when we come together on a Sunday or a Saturday, when we get together on weekdays, when you get together in your own time day after day, when you're opening the scripture, there is power and there's authority in one message that God may speak to you. Gang, lives are changed forever because they hear one message of repentance, one message of the cross, one message of what God has done for them, one message that Jesus saves, one message of their sin and their direction, one message of what Christ has done for them to free them and deliver them from sin, hell, death, damnation, recognizing what it is to give over their sin to a holy, perfect God. One message can change an eternity, folks. Man, I woke up at 3 a.m. on Monday. Come, God, one message. Your word is that powerful. That one message, one sentence, God, from you, changed the whole city. Folks, where's our view of God's word? Where's our view of his absolute power of his word? Is it, do we take it for granted because it sits by our lap day after day after day? It sits by our nightstand and we read it and we pay attention to it, but it's always there. Do we lose the authority and the power to know that this is God's divine inspired word to correct us, to rebuke us, to encourage us, to build us, to get us to understand and know who he is on a deeper level? Or do we just take it for granted? Like, man, we get to come in and we get to hear preaching and we get to have our Bibles on our lap weekend after weekend and we get to come into a place, even our home groups, and we get to... Do we understand the absolute power and authority that God's Word speaks to us week after week, that we would come before him hungry, even in your own personal time? God, that you'd speak to me this morning. God, that you'd speak to me tonight, whether you do your devotions in the morning or night. God, give me a word that can change my direction. Man, we see it in God loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We see it in Ephesians 5 in the direction that God has for husbands and wives and for marriages. We see that you can read one chapter, can rearrange your whole marriage. One chapter of God's absolute powerful word. That's the authority of God's word. That is the power of God's word. And we see Jonah delivered one sentence that was the proclamation that God gave him to speak. And it rearranged the great city of Nineveh. Because he spoke one sentence that God gave him to speak, which was a prophetic word. Gang, what is your view of Scripture? What is your value of Scripture? Hebrews 4:12 says this. I want you to see this. This is incredible. It gives us a great picture of the alive and powerful. The Word of God is living and active. We're alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intention of the heart. It's amazing to me that I get in this book to study it and to read it and know God. And there's so many times that this book reads me. Man, that hits me. Man, that is so much about me. Man, that is exactly where I'm at. Man, I needed that today. It is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to cut through anything in our lives. And it has the ability to judge or to discern your real intentions and your real motives. In your real heart. I love this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Please get this. This is incredible. It is 2:13, but this is the deal. This is the right verse. For this reason, this is what I do. I constantly thank God. Folks, we have a church that are people that are hungry for truth. We have a church of people who are hungry. I constantly thank God. That when you heard the word, you received it not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God. Now I love this, which also performs its work in you who believe. New King James says it is effective. It is effective to those who believe it. That is the power of God's word, folks. And man, we have a church of people. And man, we are crying out to God day after day. God, that you would draw in people who have an ear to hear. That God, they would be hungry after you and hungry for your word. That God, when you speak to them through the power of your word, God, they respond to it and they are not the same. Man, this is amazing. When you understand, we are thanking God that we have a church, we have a people who do not receive it as a word from man, but for what it really is, what it actually is. The word of God. And then it will perform. It will do what God said it'll do. It will never come back empty or void. For those who trust it, for those who bank on it, for those in the midst of a crisis, and it's the first thing that comes to their heart, say, God, I trust you and my faith is strong. I trust your word when it says you are before me and you are behind me. And you have my righteous right hand. God, you will never leave me nor forsake me. You know how comforting it is in my little minor crack bones when I'm having a difficult time breathing. That was probably the worst part, just not being able to breathe. To know, God, you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. God, you're with me. Right here, right now. Why? Because I know that in Word. I bank on that. That's absolute truth. Why? Because the Word of God is alive and powerful, man. It can cut the deepest part. And man, when you go through different things, you go right to it and say, God, I trust your Word is absolute and it's true. Isaiah 40, verse 8. This is amazing. The grass withers and the flower fades. You know what that means? That means seasons of life. The grass withers, the flower fades. Man, seasons of life come and they go. But the word of our God stands forever. Through any seasons of life, no matter what takes place, no matter what we go through, the absolute truth of God's word, what an amazing promise. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, seasons come, seasons go, highs and lows. But what I absolutely know for sure is that God, your word, stands forever. And it cannot and it will not ever change. It is absolute and it is truth. And it stands forever. And man, when you understand that this is for our benefit, when you recognize that that brings you a great peace, when you understand that Nineveh saw this, man, they recognize this dude is for real and he is really from God. And this is a one-sentence prophecy that is directly from God. And if we don't come to a place to repent, that God would understand our repentance is sincere. In 40 days, we're not going to be here. Based on their understanding of one sentence that God gave to them. It's incredible. You have the real picture. The power of God. Folks, where's your value of this amazing book that God's given us? Do you value the truth of God's word above all else? Do you value the truth of God's word above a hurting, broken marriage? Do you value the truth of God's word above those who are falling away from faith and going their own direction? Do you value? Where's your value of the absolute truth of God's word? Do you understand its value and its worth? Now listen, Psalms 119:72. This is from David, and David was loaded, man. He was King David. He had cash. He was absolutely loaded. And this is what he says. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. That's from one who knew what it was to have thousands of pieces. He knew what it was to have as much money as he could ever spend. In knowing the comparison of having all the money, your word is more valuable to me than that. Folks, where is your value of the truth of God's word? Where do you come to a place to understand this? Jeremiah 15, 16. I love this verse. For your words were found. Man, I put them to the deepest part of my soul. Please don't go eating the pages of the book, okay? That's what Jeremiah is saying is, I found your word and I put them to the deepest part of my soul. And they were a joy. And they were a delight to my heart. He understood the absolute true value of God's word so much so that he so consumed it. And in his consuming it, he knew that there was joy and there was delight in the midst of his heart. Again, where is your value and where is the amazing words of God that bring life, the amazing words of God that we know that he is forever with us. We know that there even will be a day of judgment. We know that there's a day of heaven and hell. We know that there's a day that Jesus returns. And I'm pastor who's honest all the time. I'm laying on that snow, Lord, Jesus, you could come quickly. Like, I'm serious. I'm like, today would be great. Like now would be, not even later today. I'm thinking now would be a great moment for your return. That would be awesome. And I'm telling you, that went through my mind. Here, I want great faith, but Jesus, you can come quickly. I'm good with that. But when you know God's word and you study God's word and it is your devotion and it is the desire of your heart, things change. You're not the same people. Things change when you understand the reality of God's Word. It is truth and it is power and it is authority. And you begin to understand that this is real and it has the ability to change my life. It has the ability to change my eternity. It has the ability to change me as a single person and the direction and guidance that God gives me. It has the ability to rearrange me as a husband or me as a wife. It has the ability to change the marriage that I'm in from good to better to best. It has the ability to rearrange everything about me when I understand it is for real and it is powerful and it is God's divine word for me. But folks, the thing is, we have to apply it. Please turn to Matthew 7. You got to see this, please. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, that's application, folks. We are praying, God, bring in those who will have an ear to hear. Bring in those who, husbands and wives, God, that they would have an ear to hear. God, bring in those singles, those young adults, those teenagers, God, that they will see exactly where they're at. And God, they'll have an ear to hear. God, bring them in so that when they hear, they'll act on it. And when you do that, this is a promise. This is amazing. You may be compared to the man who built his house on the rock. This is verse 24, Matthew 7. You may be compared to the man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds flew, and they slammed against the house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. When you understand, Jesus says, these words of mine, that's his word, folks. And when you act on them and you devour them and you love them and you recognize their value and their worth and you understand their power and their authority, you know that they are alive and powerful. And you act on them. Jesus himself says, you are one who is considered wise and you've built your house on the rock. What is considered the rock in this passage is the word of God in which he talks about. He says, when the seasons of life come, and when the winds come, and when the hurt comes, and when the circumstances come, and when the confusion come, and you find yourself in a place you never expected to be, he says, you will be unshaken. What? Because of the power of the Word of God. These are not just words on a page. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, this is God-breathed, man. This is God's inspired, without error, perfect word for you and I. So where is it that we understand and we begin to see the reality of the Word of God? That if I hear your word, and I believe that it is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, God, sanctify him. This is what separates us, folks. Sanctify him by truth, for your word is truth. This is what separates us from everything else, from any other deception, for any other lie. This is what separates us for those who believe in Christ. Jesus cried out to the Father, separate him, sanctify him, set them apart. What sets us apart? The truth. When we understand and recognize that this is the absolute truth, and it could be one message that changes my life. It could be one message, one thing that I read in this that rearranges the direction that I'm in. When you hear these words of mine and you act on them, then you will be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the floods came, the winds came, the waves came and slammed against the house. Gang, this is a slamming, man. This is a season of life that you are just getting hit. The Bible says, the Word of God says, that you will be unshaken. That you will be so firm on the Word of God that you will not budge. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you for your Word. It is truth. God, we thank you that you have given your word to us to encourage us and build us and speak to us, God. And God, that we would be those, God, who understand your word. God, we would be those who look at even this one message in Jonah that rearranged the whole great city, God. That is power. The power of one message, God, is amazing. That's why we take the pulpit so real, God. That's why we take the preaching of your word with absolute everything in us, God. It's so serious on preaching your word. It changes lives. It reveals things in us that we never knew were there. God, it shows us who we really are, to change, to be more like you. and to follow after you with everything that we are. God, it comes to a point that we get to come to a place in our lives that when the winds of life come, God, we will not be moved. We will find ourselves unshaken. Jesus, thank you. And as we close out in this song, I'm asking that you would just spend a moment and do a self-check. What is your value of the Word of God? Have you taken it for granted, folks? It sits on your coffee table, you read it every now and then. And I'm asking that you please, please come to this church weekend after weekend, hungry, hungry to hear God's Word. Can't wait to get in the Word. Can't wait to see what God has for me tonight. Night after night, when you come to this place, that you would be hungry for truth. And you will watch God do a work. And you understand its authority and its power. In Jesus' name. Come on, give them thanks, folks. Hallelujah.